Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening, the world is bracing for more death. The world is living in fear of more death. The world is trying to convince Christians that even we need to abandon spiritual concerns for the moment and focus on earthly concerns, earthly wisdom, earthly solutions. It's as if the world were crying out, "Fine, if you want to pretend that your God is real. Fine, if you want to delude yourselves into believing that He hears your prayers or intervenes to save. But now it's time to stop pretending for a while, for as long as we tell you, you must. Now it's time to live in the real world and listen to our experts. Stop pretending that your God can help you. Stop pretending that there's anything more important than preventing another COVID-19 death." Dear Christians, at this time, when the world is fixated on preventing one kind of death at all costs, we turn away from the world in defiance and turn in faith to Jesus, who was fixated on enduring one kind of death at all costs. At this time, when the world is doing all in its power to run away from death, we are gathered together, especially tonight and tomorrow, to remember death, the death of Jesus Christ our Lord. The preparations for Jesus' death took place in eternity on God's part, but on man's part they took place on Maundy Thursday as Jesus' disciples followed Jesus' directions to find that upper room where they were to prepare the Passover for him to eat. One last Old Testament Passover. There was a death to be remembered that evening in that very Passover meal, the death of the Passover lambs that were slaughtered some 1,500 years before Jesus was born. The firstborn of the Israelites were saved from death, not because the Israelites were more worthy than the Egyptians, but because the Israelites took refuge under the blood of the Lamb smeared on the door frames of their houses. And as they hid from the destroying angel inside those houses covered in the blood of the Lamb, they escaped the destruction that happened all around them. It was the death of the lambs and its application to their homes that saved them. So too it would be the death of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, that would save any and every sinner to whom it was applied through baptism and through faith. That's why Jesus and his disciples celebrated one last Old Testament Passover in order to make the connection and the transition to Jesus' own sacrifice later that day. And it was later that day because, as you remember, it was evening, and as the Jews reckon the day, Good Friday had already begun. Something else was to be remembered on that night. After the Old Testament ritual part of the supper had ended, Jesus got up and performed that foot washing we heard about this evening in the gospel. You see, not only were they to remember his death later that day, but also the deep sacrificial love that led him to that death for them, and the deep humility of their master that led him to lower himself to the form of a servant, to serve them, to wash their feet. Just their feet. Peter at first didn't want even that, then thought he needed even more than that. But as Jesus explains, they had already bathed in baptism and believed in him. And so they were already clean, except for the one who didn't believe in him, Judas, who was betraying him. But the rest of them did believe, and so they were already forgiven and in good standing with God. But they still needed the humble, gentle cleansing of their weaknesses and their daily sins. They needed to remember that if Jesus was willing to forgive their daily sins, then we must also be willing to put up with and to forgive the weaknesses and missteps of our fellow Christians with all the humility and with all the gentleness of the one we call our Master and our Lord. After the foot washing, Jesus and his disciples sat down for yet another supper. The Old Testament ritual supper was to be carried out quickly, with their sandals on their feet and their staffs in their hands, recalling how it was for Israel in Egypt. The purpose of that meal wasn't to fill up on food, but to make the connection to the Passover in Egypt. But then followed a more relaxed meal. And it was after that second supper that Jesus instituted yet another meal, a new supper. Not the Old Testament Passover, not a regular old meal, but a special meal by which we are to remember him and his death. St. Paul described the institution of that meal in the epistle this evening. It includes bread. But in Jesus' meal, the bread is more than bread. It is the true body of Christ, which was given on the cross later that same day as the tangible payment for the world's sins. In this supper, the body is broken. Notice it wasn't broken on the cross. In fact, they were careful not to break even a single bone of Jesus' body after he died to keep the prophecy of the Passover lamb, none of whose bones were to be broken. But in the supper, the body, the bread, is broken, that is, handed out and distributed to those who receive it one by one. This new supper also includes wine. But in Jesus' meal, the wine is not only wine. It's the true blood of Christ, also called the blood of the New Testament or the New Testament in his blood. The same blood that was shed on the cross later that day, that poured forth from Christ's dead body together with water, as we'll hear tomorrow in St. John's account of the Passion history. Blood that was shed on purpose, by design, to be the one-time actual payment for the world's sins. That blood is applied again to each one who receives it in the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins. So you see, in the new supper, there is an emphasis on death. It's all about the atoning death of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the world. It's all about the application of his death to the members of his church. That's why it's foolishness for the Roman priests to be out there celebrating the Mass all alone, as they're doing at the moment, with no other communicants even present. It does no one any good if they don't receive it. That's why coming together to receive it is so important. And as St. Paul writes, it's all about doing this in remembrance of Jesus, especially the remembrance of his death. Now, you can remember Jesus any old time. You can remember him at home when you read the Passion history or when you think about him. But this is a special remembrance, an act that is done in remembrance of him. And it's not just remembering it for ourselves. Listen to what Paul writes to the Corinthians. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's another reason why we're coming together to celebrate this sacrament and why it's so important. Because it's a proclamation of death. Not a private, but a public proclamation of the Lord's death on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, that all may know about it, that it really happened as the Bible says it did, and that there are really still Christians around who believe it and who believe in Him. The Son of God truly came and truly died in order to give us life. And we, His Christian people, do still believe in that Lord Jesus, that He died for our sins, that His sacrifice is the source of our life, and therefore His death is a death to be remembered always. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.